All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Thank you, and welcome to the show. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Block Talk Radio, WTTY Chicago. And I am so glad to be on the air. My voice is a little bit rough, as you can probably notice, but hey, I'm here. All righty, welcome to the joy. We are in the city of Chicago. It's a great day, folks. It's a wonderful day. It's bright. It's like it's always have been. We had a little bit of sun today. It snuck back in, and now it's gray. But, you know, it's a good time to be alive, a good time to, I don't know, good time to just be with your friends, your family, people who love you. It's a great time. It's a wonderful time. If you want to be by yourself, then be by yourself. As long as you're happy being by yourself, as long as you can deal with yourself and enjoy being with yourself. You know, I have a lot of friends, and I know a lot of people who enjoy their own company. I mean, when people enjoy their own company, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, there are people who go to weddings by themselves. They're people who go to parties by themselves. There are people who go nightclubbing by themselves. They're always by themselves, but they enjoy being with themselves. You know, you got people out here who try to criticize people who seem to be always alone. Just because he's always alone doesn't mean that person is alone. You know, I mean, you see people go to basketball games by themselves. Doesn't mean that they don't have a girlfriend or a wife or a significant other someplace. You know, I mean, you can't really say, well, he ain't got nobody. That's not always true, because there's tons and tons of people that I see every day. They're always by themselves, but they're not lonely. And that significant other is somewhere in their lives. So you really can't really put a label on people just because you see them alone. You know, I mean, it's just not right. So it's a phenomenon, because you got more people. I think more people who are alone, who live alone. I think women, you got more women living alone than you have men. Young women. I'm talking about young women. I mean, they have their own apartments. They have condos. They have, they live on the lakefront, you know, and they're alone. And they are what we used to call, I forget, what did we used to call them? urbanites or something like that. Yeah, urbanites, young up and coming professionals, people with, you know, college degrees, master's degrees, bachelor's and higher. But they are young people, you know. I mean, we call them urbanites, and I guess they call them something else now, millenniums. Millenniums. I guess it'll be something else in a couple of years. Anyway, you know, a lot of people walk by themselves down the street. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you don't put a label on people because they're alone or seem like they're alone. They could be actually alone. And some people love it alone, but there is a lot of criticism going around on some people who seem to be always alone. And we're going to do a show about that one day. All right. You're listening to the George Wanda Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, 347-857-1762. The George Wilder Jr. Show is on the air. All right, Trump, Donald Trump. I mean, everybody's talking about Donald Trump. I mean, if you listen to the talk shows, the radio or television talk shows, a lot of these shows, they start off with talking about or joking about Donald Trump, especially Saturday Night Live. I just know Donald Trump hates Saturday Night Live. There they go again with that shit. You know, I know that the Trump administration really, really can't stand talking about Donald Trump. I don't even want to talk about Donald Trump, but hey, wow, he's the elephant in the room. No pun intended. But he sucks out the air in the room. You know, I mean, Kellyanne Conway, White House advisor, on Wednesday offered an impressive, iconic, ironic defense against media aggressions that she is an agent of misinformation. Wow. That's exactly what she is. And she works for Donald Trump. Donald Trump's administration is nothing but lies. Alternative facts. Nothing but lies. Speaking at a Washington, D.C. forum on President Donald Trump's first 100 days in office, Hollywood Reporter, you know, told Conway that she is viewed as the darkness for many reporters. And I would say Sean Spicer also. These people don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't know anything about history. Basic history that you learn in grammar school and high school. These people know nothing about history or anything before they open their stupid mouths and say something dumb. And then the press and Americans, we're all over them. Wow. I'm quoting Kellyanne Conway here. I'm going to tell you, when they say democracy dies in darkness, okay, you're the darkness. This is the reporter telling Kellyanne Conway, calling her the darkness. I would go there and call her a lot of other things besides darkness. And she's trying to say she's not the agent of misinformation. She's not the agent. She's one of the agents in this administration for misinformation and stupid information. The other day, a few weeks ago, she was saying that microwaves spied on people. Microwave ovens spied on people. She is the agent of misinformation. She's one of them. But she's trying to, there's no doubt about it, she is trying to defend herself from all the criticism that she takes on just about everything. Disrespecting the White House, lying, calling some truths, alternative facts. Alternative facts are lies. Apparently, she didn't know that when she used those two words in an interview with Todd, with this reporter. I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, the Trump administration is in turmoil, as far as I'm concerned. In turmoil, because this is what we're all talking about. But some people are not as harsh on Trump as they were a few weeks ago because of this retaliation in Syria by the United States military when they gas their own people, kill their own people, including women and children. You saw it on television, gassing them, you know. So some people have cooled down on the Trump criticism, but I think it's going to rear its ugly head again full time. And, you know, we've got Trump. He just may do 4 years. I don't know. But he's always something to talk about every day because, he's got Kellyanne Conway. He's got Sean Spicer, these two minions that go out on the television and on the airwaves and all over the place and just say what they want to say, say it the way they want to say. They never answer questions. They sidestep questions. And if you ask them a question, they're going to answer it and then not answer it. And, and answer it. It's called sidestepping or pivoting or something to that effect, where you ask a question, but then you go off on, you say something else. You say something that you think is more important to say than to answer the moderator's or the reporter's question, which is crazy. If you come on my show and I ask you a question, I want you to answer that question directly. I don't want you to go off and start talking about something else because you think this other thing that you want to talk about is more important than the question that I asked you to answer. That's bull. I mean, you come on a show and you know you're going to be asked questions. I mean, case in point, a lot of these talk shows, radio and television, they don't want to book Kellyanne Conway anymore. I don't blame them. They don't want to book her no more because they know she's going to come on their shows with alternative facts, and they don't want facts. And they don't want that. Sorry. They don't want alternative facts. They want the truth because they have listeners and they have viewers, and they don't want this kind of stuff going over the air that the Trump administration, Kellyanne Conway, Sean Spicer, constantly put out there. And then they try to defend that. Have you ever, I don't know if you ever watched these two, but have you ever, if you have, then you probably know how they try to weasel out of a lie or weasel out of something that's been proven to be a lie, as if we're the ones to blame for wanting to know more about the lies that they keep on lying about. You know, this is a horrible administration. How can you run a country? If I was Donald Trump, I would say, how could I run this country when nobody trusts you or nobody likes you? You can't run. You can't be a leader if 75% or 80% of the country can't trust you, can't believe what's coming out of your mouth. You know, every time you say something, there have to be fact checkers nearby. You know, I mean, that's crazy. And that's tough for Donald Trump, especially with his poll numbers in the gutter. But I believe more and more Donald Trump is trying to be presidential. His tone has softened. Somebody has probably whispered in his ear that his tone should soften. We are not talking about Russia much anymore. The investigations, we're talking about them, but not in terms of trying to get Donald Trump impeached. Of course, you're talking about Russia because they are basically, from what I understand, from what I'm hearing, allegedly, they are in bed with Syria's President Assad, who is being blamed for the chemical attack in his country that killed, and Russia is, in some cases, is a part of it because they are defending him for that atrocity. And even Donald Trump is going around saying, it was Russia, Russia, you know, distancing himself from Russia. And that may play good for him while this investigation is underway. So, you know, it's the world is messed up. Donald Trump's, I heard him say something on, I think it was television or radio. He said that the world was really, really nasty. I'm thinking he was referring to the atrocities in Syria, the gas attack and all that kind of thing. he said the world is really nasty, and I kind of said, yeah, because you're in it. You're one of the nasty people. You know, I mean, you're going to be cutting budgets all over the place. There's nothing for infrastructure. You're going to be cutting budgets here and there. You're trying to get money to build a wall, which I don't, I actually think from my standpoint, folks, I don't think a wall is ever going to come to fruition in the United States, building a wall. I just don't think it's going to happen. Why? Because if this guy was serious about building a wall, it would have started already. It would have started already. Obviously, when Donald Trump was campaigning and he was talking about building a wall, and he was talking about building a wall, he didn't think about the particulars, about where was he going to get the money. Cole vowed that they were not going to pay for a damn wall. So I really don't believe that I really don't believe that America is going to build a wall. Why? Because it's too much money. It's billions and billions and billions of dollars. Money that could go to a lot of better things like infrastructure, social programs, crime preventing programs, all kinds of things that money could go to. But they're cutting programs because they want to try and get money to build a wall. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think that it's going to happen because this has to go through Congress. And even though a lot of Republicans, the Republicans control Congress, they have constituents, voters that they have to deal with. And I'm banking half of their voters don't want this wall. I know there's a few crazy, idiotic Trump supporters who want this, but they're nuts. But this is a campaign promise of Donald Trump. So we just have to see. But I don't think there's going to be a wall. Because as I've just got through saying, folks, if there was going to be a wall, it would have started already. I mean, they'd have started construction of it. It'd start, you know. And tell me something that I don't know. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. show, the George Wilder Jr. show on Blog Talk Radio, straight up out of Chicago. I'm in my studio here, folks. It's great. It's wonderful. I'm looking out on the boulevard, and it's still daylight time here in Chicago, and I hope it's great where you are, but it's great. I just hate these gray days, because if the day is gray and cloudy, you start to feel like that inside. You start to feel gray and cloudy because the day is gray and cloudy. If the sun comes out, you're all sunny. But you have to make best of what nature gives you, you know? And that's what we're doing here at the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're making the best of what nature springs on us, because nature can be kind of, can be fickle at times.
Services paid for through the Ukrainian president's political party.
I think it's not. My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame, you know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Yeah, in Los Angeles, I believe this is Los Angeles, a guy was stopped for jaywalking, a young man stopped for jaywalking, African-American, and suddenly he stops. They're talking about something. I didn't quite get the conversation, but I was focusing on what was going to, you know, take place next. He was just standing there. He was wearing a white T-shirt. I believe he was coming home from work. And he decided to cross in the middle of the street instead of going to the light or the stop sign. So they call it jaywalking if you cross in the middle of the street. So he was stopped by some cops for jaywalking. I haven't heard that one in a long time, but anyway, it happens, I guess, for jaywalking. And I guess an argument ensued. The guy who did the jaywalking, took off his coat. He was wearing a white T-shirt. And suddenly, you can tell there was an argument or something going on. Suddenly, the officer rammed and slammed this guy, grabbed him by his neck. It looks like he grabbed him by his neck. The officer put his arm around the guy's neck like he's choking him, threw him down to the ground, slammed him to the ground. And, you know, that was wrong. The guy did not do anything. And for them stopping him because he was jaywalking, you know, I mean, that's a weak excuse. That's a weak excuse to stop someone for jaywalking in the middle of the street. I mean, if you get hit for jaywalking in the middle of the street, that's your fault. I don't think someone should get a ticket or be stopped by the police for that. But he, in my mind, he wasn't just stopped by the police for jaywalking. He was stopped by the police because he was walking while black. That's the bottom line. Anybody who looks at this video, the latest video, would know that the guy was just stopped because he was black. And this white police officer, I don't know, maybe the white officer felt intimidated. He felt embarrassed. He felt his feelings were hurt because this guy was talking back to him. So he rushed and grabbed the guy by the neck, put his arms, threw him to the ground, and started beating him. I mean, he was punching this guy like 40 going north. I mean, you would think he was just railing on this young man. I mean, bing, 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 bing. I mean, I'm pretty sure his partner probably had to pull him off the African-American. It seemed like he was just beating the guy silly. And basically, this was a racist move because, like I just got through saying, the African-American was stopped by these white police officers because he was walking while black. And then they made up some excuse to stop him, saying that he was jaywalking. This goes on too much in America. And the guy was on TV a minute ago. He was saying that he thought he was going to be killed. He thought he was going to be shot in the back or something, or or something. He thought he wasn't going to make it. And I don't blame him. By the looks of that video, he could have been shot in the back. This guy was beating he had the guy on the ground. The cop was on top of him, just throwing punches like crazy. He was bing, 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 bing on this guy. I'm pretty sure that this cop has lost his job. That was even the police superintendent and the mayor of that particular city also agreed that this was ridiculous. And my thinking is that this cop, I'm going to have a name for you soon, that this cop is probably, hopefully, no longer with the force. It's a shame that some of these young cops do stupid stuff like this and lose their jobs. Being a police officer in any part of America is a good paying job. You lose that job, you you can't get a job picking up paper in a park. You lose that police officer position, you're done. And you will not be able to get another job because of your record, because of what caused you to get fired in the first place. But this was a horrendous, folks. This was totally horrendous. I mean, the guy, if I can repeat myself, the guy, you know, the young man, the African-American, jaywalked. And the police stopped him because of that. And the young man took off his coat. I guess he was arguing with the police officer. Police officer got mad and walked up to him, slammed him to the ground, got on top of him and started punching him in the face. That's ridiculous. That should not happen in America. That was simply walking while black. That's all that was. And I've said this several times. I don't think racism, hatred, any of that kind of thing have any place in America, but it goes on every day. It goes on all the time. It goes on as I'm on the radio speaking out there to you. And we have to find a way to stop this mess. We got to find a way to make the world a better place together. It's hard. It's rough. It's tough. The more I say this show is about making the world a better place, it seems the worse it gets. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And my guest today is McCarthy Green. And that should be fun. But like I said before earlier, it is so gray and dull in the city of Chicago. It makes you want to get up and just go by the lake or something. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I'm just joking. I'm just having a fun. I'm 347-857-1762. All righty. I just got through talking about someone getting plummeted by the police for jaywalking in the middle of the street. Do you think that's right? No, you don't. Thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I know you're listening. I know you're out there, and I appreciate that. I appreciate all of that. All right, we're going to, let's see, it's 6:29. Let's do this. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Can you hear me? Hello?
Can you?
All right.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Hello. How you doing? Are we fine? Can you hear me?
I can hear you just barely. It's like my headphones are not working correctly, but I put it on speaker, so I'm good now.
Okay, you're great now. Okay, all right. You are, tell people who you are. Give them a little bit of your bio.
All right. Well, I'm McCartney Green. I'm an author of 11 books with two more coming out this year. I'm an inspirational / motivational speaker, a spiritual mentor, a life coach, and people call me the Joy Lady because I teach people how to wake up in the morning with a smile on their face, joy in their heart, tons of energy, and raring to go each and every day.
That's great. You just made me smile right there. Wow, that's great. You are the Joy Lady because you just made me smile.
Well, that's
okay,
wonderful.
Can you? Yeah, me too. Thanks for doing the show. McCartney Green is now on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Can you be a little bit more specific about what you do? You say you're a motivational speaker, so obviously you try to encourage and show people how they can be better at something in their lives.
Yes. Have you ever, well, let me just tell you this. I was driving around one day around Christmas time, and I was looking at everybody in their cars, and everybody was frowning, and they all looked so miserable. And I thought, I need to teach these people how to have joy. And that's become a big thing for me, is teaching people how to feel real joy in their life. And to know, one of the things that helps them is to know, like you talked about at the very beginning of your program, is they are not alone. They are not alone. We're never alone. Even when we're alone, we're not alone. So I'll just tell you real quickly how I got started on this. Because, see, I really didn't know my own strength until recently. And I'm old. I'm an old lady. But
me too. I'm an old man. So we're together.
Totally cool. So I actually discover new strength every day, but for the longest time, I didn't even know my own power. I know it now because I had an actual miracle occur in my life back in 1994, but it's taken me like 22 years to finally realize how amazing this miracle was and to finally find the courage to tell the world about it. But I wasn't always so joyful. One of the reasons I didn't know my own power was because I was born into, poverty, hunger, alcoholism, abuse. I knew neglect. I knew all of these things. Stealing food and having shame and guilt over that. I knew those things too. And then I grew up and I got married and I thought everything would be okay then, you know. But we struggled because if you're raised in struggle and that struggle is all you've known, you carry it with you to the next thing if you don't realize that you can actually make things better. So we knew struggle. Yeah. And then at one point in life, it seemed like my whole life was falling apart. I'd been blessed to have 7 wonderful children and they were my joy, but we were destitute. And my husband had lost his job and I was working 3 part-time jobs trying to keep a roof over our head and food on the table. And that financial stress was almost unbearable. And then add to that, my marriage of 20 years, it was crumbling and I knew it was coming to an end. And I felt confused and unloved and alone. And then one horrible evening, I was sexually assaulted in a Wendy's parking lot. And I was so full of pain and shame about that, because at the time I was an amazing athlete. I was very fast and agile and very strong. And I thought if anybody ever messed with me, I'd kick their butt. But that's not how it went down. So I was filled with pain and shame, and I actually convinced myself that the world and my children would be better off without me, and I tried to take my own life. So yeah. You can see at one time, I was at the bottom of the barrel.
Well, that's a compelling story, and you're not alone on that. A lot of people are at the bottom of the barrel, but they find a way to dig themselves up out of that and become happy like you, and then go on to tell their stories to try to encourage other people that they can do the same thing. Even though you're born in the bottom of the barrel, you can still elevate yourself to higher heights and then go on to motivate others to do the same thing.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I try to do. Of course, I didn't really crawl out of it by myself. I have to tell you, I had a miracle happen. I had a divine intervention. And I, if you want to hear about it, I'd be happy to tell you about it. But it's a crazy story.
Go right ahead.
Okay, well
it's up to you.
Within a few weeks of that time, of me trying to take my own life, I woke one morning to find a man standing at the foot of my bed. And
wow.
Normally
was that frightening?
Were you frightened? You would. No, not at all. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's like I had a knowing. I felt absolutely no fear, and I had a knowing that this was some sort of heavenly messenger. He had a light all around him, and I wish I could describe how I feels when I say he had love like emanating from him. It was just. It was, he emanated love and kindness. And he seemed to be solid flesh. And I recall blinking my eyes several times to make sure I really was awake and I really was seeing what I was seeing. But I just hadn't known that this was a divine being. And the fact that I realized this at all is a miracle in itself, because yeah. at that time I was not religious or spiritual at all. You know, my life was so bad at that time that I had lost all my faith. I didn't even believe there was mm-hmm. God, you know, and so the fact that I recognized it at all is a miracle in itself. But this divine messenger counseled me, and he set me on the path that I'm on today. He finished speaking to me, and he told me, by the way, he told me to begin writing. And at the time, I'd never written anything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know how they say there's a book in everybody, and you know you have a story to yeah. tell. Well, that mm-hmm. wasn't true for me. I had nothing to say. So I was kind of irreverent. I mean, I said, mm-hmm. In retrospect, I look at it and I realized I was kind of irreverent because I said, write what? Uh-huh. Just like that.
Yeah.
And he just smiled at me with such a kind smile. And he said, write your story, write love, and begin immediately. And then when he finished mm-hmm. saying that, the light on him gathered, it like gathered into him, and you know, like it was imploding or something, until he simply disappeared. And that's what set me on the path that I'm on now. And since then, the first books I wrote, they were 8 fiction books called Dandelions Never Die. It's a series. And I sort of based the hero in those books on this heavenly messenger that visited me. Because he didn't look like a regular, you know, if you'd say like an angel or something. He wasn't all dressed in white or anything like that. He actually was a Native American. And he okay. had long black hair. And his chest was bare. He had long black hair. I mean, it's just not like what you would picture. but I based the hero in my fiction stories on this man. And I started writing fiction at first. But then he came back and told me to write the next book, which was Messages from Transcendent Beings, which is the one that just recently came out. Go ahead.
So the next book. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but the next book is your latest book?
Yes, yes. Well, it's,
okay, what is that about?
Messages from Transcendent Beings is an allegory. It's actually the memoirs of Grandmaster Eric Kino, who is the man that was in my fiction stories. And when I was, when he came back to me and instructed me to write a nonfiction book, The Memoirs of Eric Kino, I immediately was irreverent and argued again. I said, but how could I write the memoirs of someone who's a fictional character? That sounds like I'm being dishonest. And he said, no, you must always have integrity. So you will write a preface and explain that this is an allegory and that Jesus taught in parables, and it's the best way to learn. So you will write his story and you will expound the wisdom that will help people to find the joy in their life that they need.
Wow, that sounds compelling. Yeah, it sounds compelling. You are a joy, believe me. And I'm pretty sure if you have you considered yourself a joy in the last few years since you've been writing?
Well, I'll tell you. Once I first started writing, even all those years ago, those first fiction books, it was my absolute bliss. It was bliss. I thought, what is this? This is amazing.
Okay.
I love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's joyful. You're an author. Right?
Right. Because I always say, if you are joyful, if you are blissful and you are a writer, it's going to turn up in your material. It's going to turn up in what you write. And when people read that, they're going to be joyful and blissful also, because you were, as an author, you wrote it, I think.
I wanted that joy to come through to every single person. I want it to touch them and touch their hearts and their lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Are you working on anything else? Are you working on a book for the future?
Well, yes, I have 2 books in the works for the mm-hmm. future. Mm-hmm. One of them is called The Law of Attraction. No, I'm sorry. It's called When the Law of Attraction Doesn't Work, The Secret You Haven't mm-hmm. Been Told. And that's just going to help people who haven't been able to make the law of attraction work for them in their lives the right way to come over things that they didn't know about that they can do. But the second book that I'm working on that I'm really excited about is called Michael's Dream. And it's about...
Oh, I like that title. OPM.
Thank you. It's based on a dream, and it is about the ending racial tension in our country. So that's a big deal to me, and something was touched. You know, I grew up in the 60s, so it was something that touched my life a long time ago. So.
Yeah. And everything that you put in your books, it's kind of mirrors your own experiences from the past.
Absolutely. They say, you know, you write about what you know. Mm-hmm. And for example, my first fiction book was about a woman who'd been raped and how she overcomes that trauma, finds joy in her life. So it is a love story, and it's considered a romance, and it is very sexy. I just have to warn people about that.
Oh, juicy, huh?
Anyway. Yes, they're very sexy. But it's about women, you know, like I said, it was about someone who overcame rape. And the one after that is about child abuse and the woman who overcame that, you know, how it gave her problems to love as an adult. So they're not light, little light, fluffy romance stories. They're kind of gritty, you know.
Yeah, mine too. My stuff is kind of gritty too. I warn people too. I say it's kind of gritty, but it's good. It's very good.
Exactly. So what I'm
author.
Now is go ahead.
Okay, I want to mention your name. Author McCartney Green on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we are having fun. Go right ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so what I do now is I go around and I speak at women's conferences and we're actually any place they'll let me talk because I like to share my message. I share with them about unshakable joy. I actually have a program called Unshakable Joy, 7 Keys to a Happy Life and to Becoming a Manifesting Magnet. And I teach people how to have unshakable joy. And a lot of people ask me, well, what in the heck is unshakable joy? What do you mean by that? And I tell them, I call it joy for no reason. And that is not joy because you just landed a sweet new job, and not joy because your boyfriend just proposed, and not joy because you even won the lottery, but joy for no reason. Because true joy doesn't depend on outside circumstances. True joy is deep and it's unshakable. So
I totally agree.
Awesome.
Okay, I totally agree. So you go around teaching people how to be joyful. I mean, how to just feel good about themselves.
Yes. Well, there's keys. As I was writing that book, and I say I was writing it, but I didn't. Whenever I sat down to write Messages from Transcendent Beings, I prayed and I meditated before I began. And if my mind was filled with his words, then I didn't write it. So I don't call it channeled, but I do say it was, you know, I let him writing. And he gave me, I had no idea what I was going to write or how I was going to write it. So it just came together. And I realized during the writing of that book, he gave me 7 keys that will lead anyone to have absolute joy in their life, to wake up in the morning with a smile on their face. And even no matter what their circumstances are, you know, even if they have trauma that they need to overcome. So that's what we're going to teach, those 7 keys.
All right, McCartney Green, can you give us a website or tell us where we can pick up your books and how we can get in touch with you? Because this sounds compelling. It sounds great.
Absolutely. My website is very easy. It's just McCartneyGreen.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all those little Instagram, all those places. And you can find me either at McCartney Green. All those little places, those little tweety places. But you can also, sometimes it says Author McCartney Green instead of McCartney Green. I think on Facebook it's Author McCartney Green. But, and on my website, oh, and you can reach me. I answer every email, and you can reach me at McCartneyGreen@gmail.com. And I just want to tell your listeners that on my website, there's 2 things that they can get for free. One of them One of them, if you, you know, look at the little tabs across the top, the very far one on the right says free gift. That is the seven keys to unshakable joy. I'm not making anybody pay for it. I just want you to have them. I want you to use them. I want you to live them. And I want you to find so much joy. And then when you do, I want you to write me back and say, hey, I did it. And so there's that free gift. And also, if you scroll down a little ways on the right side of my website, there's my first book, Dandelions Never Die. Just click there. My first book is free.
Wow, too. That's great.
That's a sexy one, you know. So,
all right, yeah, everybody, yeah. Make sure you go. Make sure you go to her website, McCartney Green, and download the free book and get all those goodies. Thanks for being on the show. You were great. Would you like a link to this show? Maybe you can put it on your website. I can send it to you later.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
Hey, thanks for doing the show. I hope that you can come back someday. I had fun.
I'm so glad that you did. I always have fun sharing light and joy with people. So keep up doing that.
Thanks for sharing. Bye bye.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
All right, that was McCartney Green on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we are going to do this musical break, and we will be right back. Stay with me.
Women of Massachusetts. Yeah. I love you too. Yeah. Thank you, Mayor Walsh. I am glad to have this chance to stand shoulder to shoulder to fight alongside the mayor of Boston for the people of this country. Thank you. So, we're here today because of the power of women. The power of women to come up with good ideas like this rally. The power of women to organize like this rally. And the power of women to make sure that as our country enters a new political era, that the voices of the people will be heard. Yesterday, Donald Trump was sworn in as president. sight is now burned into my eyes forever. And I hope the same is true for you, because we will not forget. We do not want to forget. We will use that vision to make sure that we fight harder, we fight tougher, and we fight more passionately for than ever, not just for the people whom Donald Trump supports, but for all of America. People are worried. Donald Trump's campaign was about attacks on women, attacks on African Americans, attacks on Latinos, attacks on religious groups, attacks on immigrants. A Trump-Pence Supreme Court could overturn Roe versus Wade and dissolve marriages of LGBTQ citizens. A Republican Congress is eager to rip away health care from millions of Americans. America's hardworking families have taken one punch after another. Decades of trickle-down economics and attacks on unions, attacks on wages, attacks on pensions, attacks on health care, attacks on Social Security, attacks on education, attacks on infrastructure and financial regulation have gutted America's middle class. A broken criminal justice system, a broken voting rights system, and decades of systematic racism have kept people of color from having the same opportunities as other Americans throughout this country. The fact is that the playing field has been tilted badly in favor of those at the top for a generation now. And now, President Trump and the Republican Congress are ready to ram through laws that will tilt it even harder. Now, we can whimper, we can whine, or we can fight back. Me, I'm here to fight back. I'm here to fight back. And that is why we come together today. Hundreds of thousands of people in Boston, in Washington, and across this country, we are in marches to say we are fighting back. That's who we are. We come here to stand shoulder to shoulder, to make clear we are here, we will not be silent. We will not play dead. We will fight for what we believe in.
Yeah! Yeah!
We have a vision, and that vision defines who we are as a people. First, we fight for basic dignity and respect for every human being, period. No compromise, no backing up. And second, we fight for economic opportunity, not just for those at the top, but for everyone. All of our kids deserve a fighting chance to get ahead. Respect for everyone, economic opportunity for everyone. That is the American deal, and that's what we fight for. You know, those core principles call out the best in who we are. For too long, American families have seen a government and an economy that isn't working for them. And Trump and the Republicans promised to make America worse. But we're here because we are ready to fight for the people who want to build a country that works for all of us. That's why we're here. We come together to give each other strength. We come together to give each other courage. We come together to remind each other of our values. As we get ready to march, let us remind each other what we believe in and why we fight and why we will keep right on fighting. We believe that no one in this country should work full time and live in poverty. And that means raising the minimum wage. Yes, it does. Paid overtime, sick leave, we will fight for it. We believe that workers have a right to come together and to bargain together. Unions built America's middle class, and unions will rebuild America's middle class. We believe that every young person is entitled to get an education without getting crushed by student loan debt. We believe in debt-free college. Now, I'm going to say something that is really controversial in some places in Washington. We believe in science. Change is real, and we have a moral responsibility to protect this earth for our children and our grandchildren. We also believe that immigration makes us a stronger country. We will not build a stupid wall. Believe that sexism, racism, homophobia, and bigotry have no place in this country. Black lives matter. Diversity makes our country stronger. We believe that equal means equal. And that's true in marriage. It's true every place. We will never stop fighting to ensure equality for all of our citizens. You know, I could do this all day. One more that I cannot believe I have to do in 2017. We believe in equal pay for equal work and a woman's right to decisions over her own body.
Yes.
This is what we believe. This is what we will fight for. This is what we will march for. Are you ready to fight?
Yeah!
Are you ready?
Welcome to Ideas in Action, a television series about ideas and their content.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Slow it down. Thanks to my guest, author McCartney Green. Wasn't she great? Wasn't she beautiful? All righty, let's move right along. Something was just thrown across my desk here. Dems lose in Kansas. Well, they came pretty close. They came pretty close, but close in this time, in this day, is not going to get it. They lost a close one in Kansas, and I don't know. This tells me that if the Democrats lost in Congress, what this tells me is that people from that state did not, at least a lot of the people from that state did not vote. That's what that tells me. Because I've said this 1,000 times, we are the 99 percenters, they are the 1 percenters. Well, if the 99 percenters do not vote, the 1% takes office. And that's what happened here. And I totally believe that anytime Democrats lose any kind of election, it means that the constituency, that the voters out there didn't give a damn about the election, didn't care, feel that the election is not going to garner anything for them, so why vote? And that's my thinking. Whenever a Democrat loses, no matter what office it is, to a Republican, it means that the people, most of the people did not vote. Some of the people did, but enough of those folks did not vote. And the Dems are going to keep losing. I mean, we may lose big time in 2018 because we have some people out here who are steadfast in not wanting to vote. I touted this yesterday on the show. Please get out there and vote for 2018. Because if you don't change Congress, Congress is going to change you. It's going to change you. And when you don't vote, your vote is being used anyway, but it's going to be used for the opponent. The opponent is going to get it. So I said this yesterday. So why would you want your vote to be used legally, or in some cases just stupidly? Because you won't vote. Use your own vote. Don't let the Republicans use your vote. You use your vote, because if you don't vote, if a Democratic or progressive liberal do not vote, I'm not voting. The hell with them goddamn people. They lie so much. I'm not going out there. When you don't vote, that's a vote for the other guy. The Republicans, they do not want you to vote. They hope your ass don't vote. They're counting on you not voting. And you give them what they want. Because they know if you don't vote, they are going to get in office. And when the Republicans get in office, they find a way to stay in office. They find a way to stay in office, like suppressing the vote so you can't vote them out next time. And that's the truth. You don't use your vote, it's going to go towards a candidate who is going to make life difficult for you. And I don't know how many times I can say this, you know, because in the last 2 years, I mean, I was on this show damn near begging people not to vote for Bruce Rauner, begging people not to vote for Donald Trump. What did they do? They voted for Donald Trump, and a lot of people did not vote, period. A lot of people changed their votes from Hillary to Trump because Obama was backing Hillary Clinton, and a lot of people felt that Hillary Clinton becoming president of the United States would be an Obama third term, which is true. She would have been an Obama third term, but she'd have made a much better president than the guy we got in there now. But that's under the bridge. That's past. We have to think about the future. You didn't vote in the 2016 election, at least not for your member of Congress. You may have voted for Hillary Clinton, as I've said yesterday, but you did not vote for your senator or your representative. And that's why we have a Republican-controlled Congress in Washington, D.C. But with that all under the water, we got to kind of forget that, and we got to kind of just move on. You know, move on. We have 2018 coming up. And it's very, very important. We got a lot of the governorships around the country coming up. Why do we have so many Republican governors in the southern parts of America? Same reason I just got through sprouting. People did not vote. That's why. You got Sam Brown back in Kansas. He done screwed up Kansas so badly. If you went there, you won't even recognize it anymore. You know, and the Republicans keep on winning. They keep on winning because you are doing exactly what they hope you would do. Not vote. Not vote. I'm not talking to everybody out there. I know a lot of people out there voted, but I'm talking to those people who did not vote, who won't vote, who feel like their vote is, a politician, they're liars, they're crooks, they're not going to do anything for me. They're wrecking the country. I'm not voting. You don't vote, they're going to wreck the country even more. They're going to take away your Social Security. They're going to take away your Medicaid. They're going to take away your Medicaid or whatever you're getting, all of your health care. They're trying to do that right now. They're going to bust and crush every social program out here. You think you're getting food stamps? You think you're getting rental assistance? Or you being... these programs are going away. Some of them have already been cut to the bone. And I was going to talk about yesterday on the show that the Republicans are controlling Congress, and majority of the Republicans are conservatives. Conservatives means to conserve, means to cut, to eliminate. That's what conservative is, if you don't know. And it's a shame that a lot of people out here basically are not paying attention to politics. They're not paying attention to it. You should. You should. If you don't know anything about it, learn. It's your government. Learn about what your government does. Learn about, if you don't know the executive office or the legislative or the judicial, learn. If you don't know the Constitution, read it. It'll help you better to fight your government. It'll help you better in understanding your government. It'll help you better when you have to protest, when you have to get out here and fight for your livelihood from these people in Congress, in the White House. It would help you immensely to know these things. It would help you to be a leader in your community, more so than just laying around the house doing nothing and waiting for other people to do the things that you can do for yourself. You know, so Democrats are going to continue to lose if you do not vote. Maybe you don't care. But if you don't care, then maybe you should leave and go to another country. If it's your religion that's keeping you from voting, maybe this is not the country for you. I know that's harsh. I know that's tough. But if you're living in America, you are bound to learn about your government. Be a part of your government. Be a part of the solution. Stop being a part of the problem. Because if you're not voting and you will not vote, then you're not a part of the solution. You are the problem because you are letting these bad guys in the office that's going to rip this country apart. You got all these liars, Kellyanne Conway, you got Sean Spicer, all of these people in the Trump administration, bone liars, treating us like we're kindergartners, treating us like we're children, lying to us every step of the way, investigations and more on this administration. And you just cannot sit back, lay back, and let these things happen because of your religion, because of your beliefs. You are an American citizen. Be a part of the solution. Be a part of, and your solution is, part of the solution is voting. Voting. you want your country back, you want your country to be better, then vote to make it better. Don't just lay on your ass on the couch in the living room or lay around and just, you know, and criticize. Get out there and do something. Stop criticizing those people who are out here trying to make a difference when you're not doing a damn thing. Stop criticizing the radio show host, the television host, or the people out in the trenches who are out here making the world a better place. And you're sitting on your ass criticizing and belittling the people who are trying to do something good for their community and their city and their state and their country and maybe even the world. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Black Talk Radio. Okay, what do we got here? All right. Alleged getaway driver charged in fatal holdup of judge. It's great when these bad guys are caught, when they do something like robbery or they're some kind of crime. It's great when they are caught because once they're caught, they're being taken off the streets. And there's nothing like taking the bad guys off the street, because that's, in essence, is making the streets a lot safer, a hell of a lot safer. You know, because the bad guys are, I mean, summer's coming. I mean, especially in the city of Chicago, you better duck, you know. So, it's great to see the bad guys taken off the street. But, you know, crime in Chicago, it goes on, folks. It goes on. And it just behooves me that we have a mayor who, in my estimation, do not take crime seriously. Because this is, it's not number one on his radar. I'll tell you what's the number one thing on this mayor, Rahm Emanuel, radar. The only thing this guy, it's not crime. The crime in the city of Chicago should be his first priority, but it's not. It's not. Because I say it's not because it's constantly happening. It's constantly happening even more. So if it's not on his radar, he should not be elected again to the office of mayor in the city of Chicago, because I don't really think this guy gives a damn about crime. I don't think Eddie Johnson gives a damn about crime. Oh yeah, they'll cry about it after some 4-year-old kid is shot in the head and dies. They'll cry about it, and that happens often. But that's all they do is cry. There's not any more police officers put out on the street. Yeah, they go around and they collect guns and they get the gangbangers off the street. But you have to understand, you take one gangbanger off the street, another one is going to take its place. And another one, and another one, and another one. It's great getting the gangbangers off the street. It's great getting guns off the street. That's beautiful. I'm not criticizing that. It's great getting the gangs out of the neighborhoods so that the people can get their community back. That's beautiful. That's wonderful, but is that neighborhood safe and secure? No, because there's just like weeds. Gangbangers are like weeds. You pull one weed, another one's going to grow in its place. That's why I keep saying that it should be 24-hour patrols over there on the west and south side of the cities, especially in some of these high crime areas. You take the police out of these areas, then you don't have a lot of shootings. And I've said before that Chicago has lost a lot of its population because of high crime and high taxes, property taxes. And that brings me back to Mayor Rahm Emanuel. This guy doesn't care about crime in the city of Chicago. I don't believe he does, because it keeps happening. What he cares about is raising your taxes. That's what this asshole is about, raising your and my taxes. That's what he's out doing right now as I speak. He wants to raise the gas tax, 5, 10, 15 cents a gallon. He's all about raising taxes. I don't give a shit what he wants to do with the money. It's just that the people in the city of Chicago, including myself, we are sick and tired of taxes. The two reasons, three reasons why people are leaving this town is taxes, crime, and there's no budget in the state of Illinois, Bruce Governor Rauner. There is no. So we have a number of problems in this state. Politicians are not addressing, are not seeming to care anything but sticking their hands in our pockets for more money. Money for this, money for that. And that's all this guy is. He is a tax and spend mayor. Instead of focusing every iota of his strength and his power on solving crime in the city of Chicago, making the lives safe of people who live in those communities, it's just not a top priority for some reason. A lot of people have moved out of those neighborhoods, but the people who can't afford to move, they're still there. A lot of people have taken their kids and their families away from that crime, but you don't hear that from the mayor or the governor. They don't want you to know that people are leaving the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois because of their policies. They don't want you to know that. But they are. Chicago is the third largest city in the United States. It's going to soon be the fourth largest city because people are exiting. And I can't blame them. High taxes, high crime, and there's no budget in the state of Illinois. That means the state is not paying its bills. There is a backlog of bills to be paid in the billions. And these guys go around like nothing's going on, nothing's happening, doing business as usual, while people suffer. The middle class suffer. The poor suffer. And they don't give a damn because what? Why? They're rich. And everybody else is not. So either you got yours or it's too bad because I surely got mine. That's the mindset of what's going on now. Rahm Emanuel is trying to raise the gas tax, and he wants a hefty hike. He wants a hefty hike. He don't want a small hike. He wants a hefty one. So all you drivers out there, you're on the road. Listen, you're going to be paying $3 and $4, maybe $5 for a gallon of gas because he is stunched in wanting to get it. And the city council, they're going to rubber stamp this guy. So if it goes through, if he brings it to him and it goes to the city council, you know, these guys, these aldermen, their ass kisses, bootlickers, they're going to ram this through. So people in the city of Chicago, get ready. Especially if you're a motor, you're a driver, get ready. The gasoline fuel tax gonna go up, and whenever gasoline goes up, everything else goes up because it trickles up. Food goes up, rent goes up, mortgage goes up. If it's not a fixed mortgage, it'll go up. Interest, bank loans, everything goes up. Food, everything goes up from there. Because people have to make up for that lost revenue. So they have to, you know, raise prices. It's pathetic. See, these people are rich. They don't give a damn. This is why I say vote. You have to vote. You must vote. Or these things will keep happening. They will keep going. And they will only get worse if you sit back and just let it happen. If you sit back and complain and complain and complain and don't do any goddamn thing, what do you think is going to happen? This world is up to you. the people. The people, I'm going to say United States. The United States of America is up to you. It's not about Congress. It's not about Trump. It's about the people of America. We can change everything we want to change if we galvanize, we get together, we learn about our government, how it works, and how we fit into that narrative, and how we can make change. We don't need Congress to make changes for us. We need to keep our foot on top of Congress to make them do the right thing. Because you got a lot of people in Congress, Republicans, they don't care what we think. They don't care what we want. They don't care what we want them to do. Because we mean nothing to them, even though we gave them their jobs. Yeah, we gave them their jobs, but they're going to do what they want to do. They're going to do whatever they can for their party. The Republicans want to stay in power forever. And it may be that way. They want to stay in power forever. And they will stay in power forever if you do not get out there and fight the good fight. If you do not get out there and vote these assholes out. They will control everything. You will lose Social Security. You will lose Medicare. You will lose every damn benefit in the world because they don't give a damn. They don't care for you. They don't care about people. They don't care about children. Oh, they care about their own children. They care about their own family, but they don't give a damn about yours or mine. And we are the ones who voted their office, their asses into office. You must vote, people. You have to vote. And because if you don't, we're in trouble. And like I said before, the Republicans keep winning. They keep winning. And when they win, they gloat about it. Oh, we beat them damn Democrats. We got them damn progressives. The only way they win is because you or someone you know did not vote. We are the 99%ers. They are the 1%. When the 99%, majority of the 99% does not vote, or any part of the 99% does not vote, they win. We have to work together, and we have to work together collectively. Or the Republicans will be in power forever. All right, you've been listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see, what time is it? I think we got about 8 more minutes into the show. Again, I want to thank my author and guest, McCartney Green. I like that name. I never heard a woman named McCartney, the first name to be McCartney. You know, and she was beautiful. She was wonderful. And she said she was old. Believe me, she's not old. She's young at heart. I'm pretty sure she's beautiful. And I hope to have her back on the show because she is full of sunshine. I love people on the show who is full of sunshine, because if they're full of sunshine, then sunshine is going to go out over their airwaves and throw some sun on your face. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay, we 7:23 straight up. It is around 53 degrees in Chicago. It's beautiful. It's night. It's night. It's April. And we got Easter Sunday coming up. I don't know. I haven't heard too many people talk about Easter Sunday. You know, I don't think Easter Sunday is what it used to be. I really don't. I don't think it what it used to. I don't think anything is what it used to be. This is the 21st century, 2017, April 2017. We got Trump in office. We got a lot of crap that's going on in Washington. And then we got Republicans who don't give a damn about doing the right thing in Congress. I've said this before, with all of Trump's baggage, if this had been a Democrat, he'd have been impeached so fast, your head would be spinning. You know, but the However, the Republicans are just aiding and abetting Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is going to get away a lot of this stuff, and he might wind up being doing 4 years. A lot of us were saying he wasn't going to make 4 years, but I don't know. It depends on how this investigation goes, but it doesn't look like anything is. This is why I said we have to move on. We can't sit around and wait and see if Trump is going to be impeached. We got to make sure that we get out there and do our jobs. Make sure we get out there and vote and encourage and mobilize other people to vote, or the Republicans, or the Republicans are going to have this for life. And I'm not kidding. I mean, they have already got their Supreme Court nominee. They already got him sitting on the Supreme Court. The Democrats just lost a couple of elections. So, you know, this is, and they're gloating. So this is very, very, very crucial that we get out here and take this country back.
Up the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
I want to say thanks for tuning into the show. My guest, McCartney Green, join me tomorrow. We'll have more exciting guests and more topics. And make sure you try to make help to make the world a better place. All right, this is George Wilder doing the show. Bye-bye, everybody.